and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a very rain-soaked episode 121 of Nerd Pod Generations. As always, I am one of your illustrious hosts, Steve Taylor, along with the lovely Al Jetsam. Hello, sir.
Is it raining? I hadn't noticed.
Oh my god, dude. I'm just waiting to go home and find my basement with an ark in it and a bunch of animals floating around.
No,
absolutely crazy.
Yeah, no, it's been
I mean, the last 2 days, it's been 48 hours solid rain.
Yeah, no, we were going to get our Christmas tree this weekend, and we had, like, circled this date for a while now. And, well, wouldn't you know it, that's not really a viable option at the moment. Although you went out and did it anyway.
Yeah, but it was one of those things that it when you have kids, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't have a choice.
You don't have it's another shot
like,
at it.
It's not like, put it off for a little bit. It's like, no, they were jumping on the walls waiting for the Christmas tree.
It's got to go up so that they can hang their ornaments.
Exactly. And then, was it yesterday, Elfie, our elf on the shelf, showed up in the house.
Oh, lucky you.
So it's like, you know, everything was ticking the boxes and it's like, it's got to happen.
You know, I got to be honest with you. If the elf on the shelf ever shows his face at my doorstep, he might find himself on the wrong side of a matchbox.
Yeah.
Not entirely.
There is a great SNL skit, though, with Jason Momoa, where he plays an elf on the shelf, and it's him and these two other elves talking to Santa. The other two have normal experiences, but he talks about how his kid has now realized he can do something with his body, and how he looks at him when he does. It's absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
It really is freaking funny. But yeah, so that's what's been going on. We actually had a lot of sickness in our house, too. Everyone's been sick over the last week or two.
Well, it's the week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Everybody just went into the Petri dish.
It made it great for Thanksgiving, though, because I was the one that had the cold on Thanksgiving. And on Thanksgiving Day, I wanted to stay away from everybody. So at my in-laws, I sat in the living room with a glass of wine watching football by myself.
There you go.
And I'm like, this is torture.
I wish my family was here.
I mean, I could hear the kids screaming in the background.
Yeah. We had a nice Thanksgiving, but that first wave of sound that hit us when we entered the house, holy shit.
It's lunatic.
It was funny because when we technically entered the house, it was all calm. You know, there was like this moment of like, are we the first people here? How is that possible? And then we went down into the basement where everybody was, and it was just like a wall of sound that came in and hit, and it was just, oh. So yeah. I'm glad we're on with the next thing, which is Christmas.
Yes, and we're back in the show.
Yeah, and we're back, and we got a few weeks of content before we're gone again, and then we'll be back in, god damn it, 2024.
Yeah, because Christmas Eve is a Sunday, so we're that 1 week we're definitely gonna be off. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to. There's so much stuff coming out. Like we just noticed that the 22nd is when What If Season 2 comes out. But we're in the future. We're gonna be talking about Monarch, which we're currently watching. Yep. We're gonna be talking about Doctor Who next week, which
finally coming.
It's just so much stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we finally hit this nice little stretch. Since we didn't participate in Loki, we boycotted Loki and the Marvels. We've had a nice little moment to kind of stretch our legs and have fun shows where we got to talk about what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have some homework that we have backed up. I have a lot of Apple TV shows that I've promised my in-laws I'm gonna go and see. So,
yeah.
Shout out to the cousins. I'm going to see all of these shows from Ted Lasso all the way through to Monarch and Foundation and Severance.
See, Lasso, I've heard season one's great, and then it just drops off from there.
I've only heard that it's really, really nice. Yeah. It's a nice, fun, friendly experience to have. So,
it's not stuff we're used to, Al.
What?
Speaking of friendly, we're going to be talking about, we're going to start this show like we start every show, which, what have we been watching, playing, reading?
Yes.
And we're going to mainly focus on, there's been a huge deluge of trailers.
Yes.
On top of the rain, there's been trailers. Yes. Lots of trailers.
Yes. The last few days, similar to the rain, all these trailers dropped.
And there's nothing we can do to stop them.
No.
So I'm going to bring up one first that I know, like you said, you don't really have a horse in this race, and that's the Percy Jackson TV show that's going to be coming out early next year, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
For those of you who are unaware, I believe he just released the sixth book that we got our son in the mainstream Percy Jackson series. Great books.
Yeah.
Awesome books. Great stories that have to do with the boy that's, you know, in the world of the Greek gods, and it's awesome stories. They made two movies.
Yeah, did
and
they
I
ever?
Can honestly say, and this is somebody who has seen the movie Aragon, the one from Christopher Paolini about the dragons.
The one with
Jeremy Irons.
Well, and Picard's son is in that too.
Oh, that's right.
He's the lead.
That's right, he's the lead.
And Rachel Weisz plays the dragon.
Which is horrific. It's a terrible movie. The Percy Jackson movies are easily the worst adaptations of a book I have ever fucking seen. Mm-hmm. They make up half of the movies are shit that's not in the books.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of shit that's not in the books. The characters are way too fucking old. Alexandra Daddario, who plays Annabeth, in the second movie, she's supposed to be playing, I think, 14 or 15.
Oh,
she's
no way.
In her 30s.
Yeah, no.
I want to say she was 30 when they filmed that fucking movie.
Well, and it's Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, even when it was really hard to hide certain attributes of hers.
Even when she was like 19, she looked like she was in her late 20s.
But like all the characters were way too fucking old. Yeah. And then
Logan Lerman can't play a teenager anything?
And then the first movie had Pierce Brosnan
way
overdoing it as Chiron the Centaur. And so it's like this trailer for this new Disney Plus show finally looks like it is going to nail everything that every fan hopes for, because there are scenes in this trailer that are from the book that it's like, oh, great. I know that from the book. Perfect. They have the kids are actual kids.
They look like children.
Chiron looks like this majestic, you know, older professor-like figure like he is in the books. And it's like Dionysus is obviously in the beginning of this, which he wasn't even in the first movie, even though he was running the camp.
I was going to say, I don't even know who that character is.
He was Stanley Tucci in the second one, in The Sea of Monsters.
I never made it to the second one because the first one was so bad.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to spend any more time on this.
Yeah, because he's not even in it.
Yeah.
But like the whole part with the Hydra in the movie, not in the book.
Oh, really?
Not at all. Not at fucking all.
Because that was the one that was in like Nashville or something. Yeah.
But there's a part that I think they were going to try to play off of where they go to St. Louis and they go into the Ark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the end of this trailer when you see the monster coming up breathing fire. That's in the Ark.
Ah.
And so I'm like, ah, or Arch, I should say. I was like, ah, that's fucking right. So they're going to get rid of that bullshit. So I'm insanely excited. I know my son, he's a huge Percy Jackson fan. He's crazy excited, too.
Mm-hmm.
So fingers crossed they don't fuck it up. It is Disney Plus still. They could easily fuck it up.
As long as you're more accurate than the last one and or Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Because I love the Liam Neeson Clash of the Titans movie. But just like right from jump, you're like, so we're just not doing anything that has anything to do with mythology. Even the little stuff? No, nothing. I do remember liking Steve Coogan and Rosario Dawson as Persephone and Hades in the Logan Lerman one.
Yeah.
But that was it. And it's Catherine Keener plays his mom.
Yeah.
It was a good cast, but it didn't have any heart.
And like the whole, when, right from the get-go is what threw me off. Because it's like, Poseidon's going to walk out of the water in full god size in front of mortals.
Mm-hmm.
And have them just be like, oh,
what's this?
Dude, that's fucking stupid. And then the ending, there is no battle with Luke at the Empire State Building in the book. That never happens.
Yeah.
He gets the bolt, goes back, gives it to Zeus, and then when he gets back to camp, Luke tries to kill him at camp and then just disappears.
Mm.
And it's like, so that whole fight at the end, I'm like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
This is nothing. Like, once again, this kind of goes to a complaint I've had with some of the Harry Potter movies. If you're going to make an adaptation, if you need to subtract, I understand. You can't do a full book, but don't add. If you're going to subtract because of time restraints, subtract. But if you want to add shit, just fucking put in the shit that you're subtracting.
Yeah.
That drives me absolutely crazy.
We're going to get to that with Blue Beetle. One of the things that we're covering today is Blue Beetle.
Which?
And we're going to talk about that just a little bit. We're going to touch on it like third base.
Yes.
But not the third rail, more like third base.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Marvel loves to dance on that third rail.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to roll into What If Season 2 as a trailer.
Let's do that.
But, we'll see what happens with Percy Jackson. I don't have, as you said so aptly, I don't have a horse in this race.
No.
So
again, it's Disney Plus, so you see what they did with Willow. Let's hope it's not that.
This is the thing, is that they don't have a great track record.
No.
And some of those trailers looked great. The first episode of Willow got great reviews from this show.
Yep.
We love that first episode of Willow. But man, when it dies on the vine, it dies hard sometimes.
Dude, that was pure DDT dying.
Yeah, so, but we're going to talk about What If Season 2.
Yes. Because
this trailer dropped a little while ago. It just didn't hit our radar, or at least not mine.
And I think it might have been either right around when we did our last show, or maybe after, actually.
Yeah.
Because it was the Thanksgiving week.
So this was, I'm intrigued by what we're seeing here. We have some 80s Avengers.
Yeah.
They're doing 1602, which I'm excited about doing 1602. I ultimately come back to the first What If, which was a good concept done fairly well, but mm-hmm. that means that there were a lot of moments that weren't done that well. Mm-hmm. A lot of writing moments that weren't very good. A lot of direction moments that weren't very good. I'm looking at it, and similar to Percy Jackson, I'm like, okay, this looks like a pretty decent promise that you're making me. I love seeing Ant-Man as an Avenger. That's great. That's fucking mm-hmm. great. I've been waiting for this forever. Is it actually going to be good, though? Because there were some episodes in there that were pretty bad.
Yeah. And the thing about this trailer is the way it was paced and edited,
yeah.
I can't really get
no,
an idea of what it's going to be.
I can't get tone at all. I look at it and I'm like, oh, this looks like fun. And then at the very end you have Happy Hogan as John McClane making a John McClane reference.
To Darcy.
And I'm like, is this going to be the show? Because I think this is what the show is actually going to be.
Dumb humor.
And it's going to be nails on a chalkboard. It's going to be Marvel Zombies all over again. High concept done very poorly. Yeah. And when it's done well, it's awesome. And I fucking am so jazzed. But that's when it's done well. Yeah. And it's What If season one for me is a 60-40. And that's me being generous. That could easily be a 50-50 split for me in terms of good to bad. Mm. There are some episodes of that that I just won't watch again.
Yeah, it was terrible.
The Star-Lord T'Challa episode is so bad.
That was horrific.
It's just so bad and such a dishonor to him as an actor.
And that was the worst part of it. I remember we talked about it. Was the last thing that Chadwick Boseman did before he died.
Yeah.
And it was horrible. And it's like, dude, I don't want to remember you like this.
No, come on. This what are terrible. We doing? And just bad script, bad direction, bad writing.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if they've solved those problems. I personally look at it and I'm like, I've seen this tale before. Mm-hmm. I don't believe you.
So I agree.
We'll see. Going off of superhero animated bullshit, let's also talk about
Crisis
on Infinite Earths, yep. the Justice League animated film that is going to capstone, maybe jumpstart a new thing, who knows? But it seems like it's taking all this animated hankery that DC's been doing that we love. I don't know if anybody on this who listens to the show knows.
If you listen to the show, you know we fucking love it.
But I look at this and, again, it's very similar. If they can stick this, everything that I see in this trailer excites me. Except here, I have more faith that they can stick it. Now,
true.
Some of the recent stuff, Battle World, I'm looking at you, not great.
Yes.
So even then, there were just so many weird things. The fact that there's two Supermen in the thumbnail for this trailer. The fact that Superman doesn't know who Wonder Woman is, but Wonder Woman knows who Superman is, but only in the context of her universe. And it's just like, so many things.
And going off of what you're saying, the thing I'm worried about is one movie going to be enough to tell this story?
Well, it's a three-parter. It's a three-part special. So it's going to drop in
three
sections.
But how long are each part going to be?
That's
like
the question.
If it's an hour long each?
I would guess they're each an hour to an hour and a half.
See, I'm hoping hour and a half to 2 hours. Because you got to have, if you think about the Flash Arrowverse telling of this.
Yeah.
That was a lot of episodes.
What was it? It was four episodes, one across each show, 1 hour
I think
per episode.
So it's like 4 hours to tell the story. It's like, it's got to be
and
at least
they,
in the same
like,
ballpark.
They didn't get, this was always the problem with the Flash Arrowverse stuff. It's never perfect. The higher concept it got, the harder it was for them to stick the landing.
Yeah.
I just remember watching so many Legends of Tomorrow episodes where I'm like, man, we had so much momentum going into this and it's just gone. It's just fucking gone for the last one, for the finale of this whole thing. It's just not there.
Like, when I think about the Arrowverse version, the only two things that I remember fondly are the two Flashes meeting.
Yes, that was great.
And John Cryer's Lex Luthor meeting Smallville.
Yeah.
And Superman Wellington after he gave up his powers. Like, that was entertaining.
But they did so many things like that. The Brandon Routh Superman, you find out that sometime after Superman Returns, the Joker bombs the Daily Planet in that universe. It's like, okay, this is the kind of shit I'm here for, baby. This is what I come to comic books for, my dude. So I'm hopeful for this because they have a good track record. It's not a perfect track record. Mm. There, especially more recently, there have been some real weak attempts, we'll call them. Definitely nothing as strong where, like, I look at Son of Batman or Batman versus Robin, and it's just like, fix the title, and yeah. everything else is perfect. Like, don't change a thing, just fix the title, because those titles suck.
Yeah, they really do. And that's, unfortunately, that's been a lot of their,
yeah.
the animated movies. The titles are not
The titles are just terrible. Justice yeah. League versus Teen Titans, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Son of Batman, I didn't realize was Court of Owls. For the longest time. And I didn't watch it because of the title. I was like, that's a stupid title. I don't care about Batman and Robin fighting. I don't... That's stupid. And then you find out, oh, it's Court of Owls. Oh!
That's fucking awesome.
I gotta see it! Yeah. Why didn't you call it Court of Owls? Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Because they, you know, they have to have the title track the lowest denominator. Yeah. So it's like, all right, yeah. we gotta make it something that'll...
Yeah. No, I'm very curious about this. This is the Long Halloween Batman.
Yeah.
Who's not my favorite Batman, but he's not bad.
He's just, not awful.
He's just clumsy. He's yeah. not a good enough detective for me. I don't like any Batman that gets to be in the cowl. And only then realizes, hey, I might need to do some detective work in this job. Yeah. It's like, no, that's what you fucking are. What did you spend the last 18 years doing? Yeah. Not becoming the world's greatest detective. What was the point of the last 18 years then, Bruce? Yeah. What were you doing? So
he was being gloomy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, that's Pattinson Batman.
Especially the Jensen Ackles Batman. That's
which one was
he's
this?
The Long Halloween.
He does
Long Halloween Batman. He was also
there's so
Jason
many
Todd.
Actors that have done fucking Batman.
I know.
It's tough to keep
I
them.
Know.
I mean, if it's not Conroy, it's like, man, I can't.
Know. I know. Speaking of Lex Luthor, really quick, I saw. I don't know how true this is, but I want to gauge your reaction. I saw that Nicholas Holt might be our next Lex Luthor.
I think it's official.
That's what I've heard.
There's two big things, that and Pedro Pascal's Reed Richards is official.
This, is it official?
It's official.
It's documents have been signed.
I believe it is 100% official.
So I'll believe it once the movie actually drops, because currently Mahershala Ali is Blade.
Well, that's
and,
true.
And we know how that's
that
going.
That is true. That is true.
And also Marvel, I don't appreciate the teasing that you've done to us.
Yeah.
Of, oh, everybody wants John Krasinski to be Reed Richards. We'll cast John Krasinski as Reed Richards. But not long
as a joke. Yeah, as a joke.
Oh, fuck you! Come
but you know,
on!
They must listen to the show, because they know if anyone they could cast that would make us go, oh, it's Pedro Pascal.
That's the entire fucking internet. The entire internet calls him daddy to the point where SNL
really
had an entire skit about calling him daddy.
Oh my god, and this is a little bit of a tangent. Did you ever see the Bad Bunny skit where they play sisters?
No.
Bad Bunny did, I think it was like
a
few weeks ago, and he came out in this one skit where he plays this boy's mom, and he's all dressed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Pedro Pascal comes out as the aunt.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's almost as good as the Mushmouth.
Yeah, well, because that was a character that Pedro Pascal did previously.
Oh, that's right.
Was the mom.
That's right.
My son does not have ADD.
It is so fucking good. Yeah. I was pissing my pants on someone. All right, back. Okay, Nicholas Holt. I am on board with that.
I gotta see how it plays. I'm not against it, but I gotta see how it plays.
He has the physicality. I mean, if they're doing a young Lex Luthor, he has the physicality. He has the gravitas, I think, to really pull off that character.
Yeah.
So I'm actually very excited when I heard that. Because it's like, honestly... The last Lex Luthor I have in my head is Jesse Eisenberg.
I know.
Anything better than
it's
going to be better
bad
than
taste
that.
In your mouth.
Unless they would have said Michael Cera is going to be.
It's like this prolonged bad taste that we just can't rinse out.
Horrible taste.
And it just like even Zack Snyder's Dark Justice League tried to like bring him back and be like, hey, could be cool. And we're all like, I'm here for Deathstroke. I don't really want to hang out with this guy.
I like it. I don't love it. I still would have preferred African-American.
Yeah.
Like the animated series.
Well, like, we were just watching Noel.
Okay.
Which is Anna Kendrick becomes Santa. It's a very sweet movie.
My family watched it yesterday. They were kind of telling me about it.
We also just watched it yesterday. We've watched it a few times. It's a nice, sweet movie, but we also love Anna Kendrick. But Kingsley Benadire, who played Gravik in Secret Wars and Ken, he was one of the Kens in Barbie. He plays this private detective in Noel.
Okay.
And he's kind of the ragamuffin that doesn't believe any of the Santa crap, but he's being paid, so he's going to go ahead and do the job. And also Noelle's doing a lot of nice things for his son, so he's going to be nice to her and do all these things to help her out. He could be Lex Luthor. Him or...
I could see it. I was thinking Regé Jean Paul.
I was going to say, that was the other one. That was the other one.
That's... But you're right, though. Both of those guys, I would have absolutely crept my pants if one of those two had gotten it.
That, I think, would have been a better direction to go in. Yeah. Especially because then you can do the like... One of the things I want them to do is the complicated Lex Luthor.
Yes.
Who's angry at Superman because he doesn't want to be reliant on Superman to be able to live his life. And so one of the things that he does is keep on inventing ways to fight Superman, kind of effectively turning himself into a supervillain, or, as it turns out, sometimes a superhero. Lex Luthor has been on the Justice League. And I don't need him to be a Justice Leaguer, but like if he could be... The Lex Luthor, a little bit of Lex Luthor from some of the animated Superman movies, where like he's fighting, he's cloned Superman, and now he's fighting the Superman clone in a Red Sun room using the Kryptonite gauntlets.
Yeah.
This is what I fucking want right here.
And this is another example of, we've discussed this before, of all of these different studios are trying to force diversity into a lot of things. And it's like, here you have a storyline and a character that was played in a diverse way, that you could have just done that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans would have been like, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back with a white dude. Once again, I like Nicholas Holt, but it's like, this is an opportunity to branch out. Like what they did with Samuel Jackson and Nick Fury.
Nick Fury.
I absolutely love that. And and you can't have... Part of my thing with it is... You're going to have these detractors who are going to be like, I can't believe you changed this character, blah, 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 blah. No one really could say that about Nick Fury, because in the comic books and in the animated series, he was played as an African-American. So it's like, this is a golden opportunity, and you're giving us a take on a character in a live-action movie we have not seen yet.
Yeah.
We have seen him in animated, played as the strong African-American character. We have not seen it live-action in either TV or movies. Here is your opportunity, and you fucking give us Beast, which is, once again, I like Nicholas Holt.
This is exactly where I was going to go. If he plays it as Beast, who kind of sometimes falls into Nux from Mad Max Fury Road, that kind of mania, the what a lovely day. Like, that's the kind of mania that I can see, because Lex Luthor, I can see going maniacal, right? Yeah. He loses his mind and loses his shit on occasion. That's not unheard of. Kind of in a Kingpin-esque way of just like... violent outbursts. But I gotta see it done well, not in a woohoo, ha ha, hee, I'm crazy.
See, I see him more as, do you know the well, you know him from Ahsoka. I see Lex Luthor more of like a Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is reserved, smartest person in the room, knows what's going on, and if something goes wrong, can have a raise your voice outburst, but not like lose your shit because he's too above that.
Yeah.
And that's what I fucking, I kind of envision that as Lex Luthor. It's like, you know, Gene Hackman, I love him, and I love the Superman movies, and I love how he played him, but they kind of played him a little too comedically.
Well, I'm thinking less is more in all cases. I think there should be a moment where we get there, but that moment should come towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Where, when things have really, when shit's really hitting the fan. And I think it's that same one, that same Superman movie. It's Superman dies and Lex clones Superman.
Yeah.
And is just beating the shit out of him. That was out of this clone in this Red Sun room. And he is just like, why did you leave me? Why did you go away? You didn't even fight me. You just left me here alone.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I want to see that level of just lost control. I don't need the Rain Wilson, you know, kind of, because he again goes into that goofiness in the animated ones where like Batman breaks into his apartment. And he's like, it's 3 a.m. What are you doing here? Why do you need to be... And he's, you know, I'm a member of the Justice League. You can't do this to me now. And all these little, like, Rain Wilson-isms that he does. And I need it to be really serious until it becomes unhinged.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, shit, this guy's crazy. Like, I thought this guy was, like, he had his life together. He was buttoned up. He knew what it was going on. He always said the right thing. This guy's fucking crazy.
Yeah. See, and that's what I'm slightly concerned of with James Gunn running the show.
Yeah.
Because it's like he's gotten, you know, I don't know if it's just the way Marvel told him to make the Guardians films and have some of the weird humor and have some of the villains be a little goofy. And even, it's like...
see, this is my question with James Gunn. how much of the holiday special was you and how much of it was Disney?
I think that's 100% him. I think that's the scary part.
I think it was all him. Yeah. I think all of those jokes were James Gunn's favorite jokes, and he thought the whole thing was funny as hell, and he hired all of his friends to be in it, and it was just one of those, like, we're just going to have a fun time, everybody, we're just going to have fun. Yeah. And it fucking sucked, man. Yeah. It was terrible. I'm
so worried about that.
So, like, this is my concern.
Yeah.
It's Guardians 2. If I were Disney for Guardians 2, I would have just gone to them. And I know it's technically Marvel, everybody out there. But Marvel is Disney, and Disney is owned by Marvel. So I'm sure that at the end of the day, if Disney wanted them to make Guardians in a certain way, they would do it. I look at Guardians 2, and after, like, Guardians 1 was just kind of like a, go off, do it, we don't fucking care. You know, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then it's this huge success. And so I can only imagine Disney being like, it's the 22 Jump Street. Do the exact same thing, but with way more money.
Yeah.
And
see, where I think, though, the holiday special and Guardians 3 were 100% him, because I think the only way he would come back when Marvel fired him and then back for him to come back was to give him full control.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm afraid that those were 100%
him. Yeah. And that rabbit is right out of the James Gunn playbook.
Oh, absolutely.
The Guardians 3 rabbit is straight out of the James Gunn playbook. And just... Man, not everything needs to be Slither, my dude.
No.
You know? Like, not everything needs to be Slither.
And it's like, this is the guy that gave me Vigilante, though, so I'm wondering, it's like...
I know, we're bouncing back and forth.
We're so close! But,
like, there's also still scenes in Peacemaker that I was just like, I don't need
No, there this. Were a couple, yeah. There were a couple. Same with Suicide Squad, where you're like... Come you know, on, you have great scenes like the whole Harley Quinn killing her lover and then having that explosion. Yeah. That was great, and then you have scenes where you're just like...
I felt that way about every Peter Capaldi scene. I was just like, oh, this is just embarrassing for everybody. I know you're misusing
the doctor, damn it.
Yeah, just, I feel bad for everybody involved here. I feel embarrassed that this is what's happening. I kind of felt that way for Idris Elba in a lot of that movie.
Yeah.
I was just kind of embarrassed that he was there. Because, like, he didn't seem like he cared. And you could tell that he had been brought on to be not Will Smith.
Yeah, a better version of the Will Smith.
But he's just Will Smith. Yeah. He's just not Will Smith. But he's... Clearly supposed like, to be Will Smith.
You got Idris fucking Elba. You got to use
him. You got to use him for something.
You could even give Marvel credit for that, because him as Heimdall, at least in the first Thor, he was used properly. Yeah. And then there could be questions in the later ones.
As we went on and on, we got further and further away from what we should be doing until we have Heimdall's son. And that's like the ultimate fall.
I don't want to fucking bring anything up in that piece of shit
movie. Can you imagine Idris Elba as Bronze Tiger?
Oh, god damn it. Yep.
Come on!
So we gotta move on. Let's talk about the goddamn horrible thing we watched before this. Godzilla X Kong the Empire.
Yeah. Well, we gotta talk about two more. We got Furiosa and we got...
I wanna say Furiosa for last, because I need to talk about a big problem I have with that.
You wanna talk about Fallout or Garfield?
Let's talk about Godzilla Kong.
Okay, we'll talk about Godzilla Kong.
I just want to get this, because I have nothing more to say other than Godzilla should not fucking sprint.
Yeah.
And he sprint. The last time he sprinted was in that awful Matthew Broderick Godzilla movie in the 90s that everyone made fun of, and now you're going to put Godzilla in a movie and make him fucking sprint.
Yeah.
Fuck it. That movie looks horrible.
That last shot, there were so many moments in that trailer where I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, and I was like, oh. Rebecca Hall. Oh, we're doing this, like, Center of the Earth thing. Okay, that's fine. Oh, Dan Stevens is here. Oh, is this Planet of the Apes, but with King Kong?
And then the first, like, 30 seconds of it, we thought it was a Michael Bay film. And then even the Kong arm with the...
The Titan mitt.
With the Titan mitt, it made it look like fucking Transformer.
Yeah.
Like, is this Michael Bay?
That last shot of Pink Godzilla and Titan mitt Kong running. I was just like... We have so clearly lost the thread of what we were doing. The only saving grace is that Millie Bobby Brown is now too expensive for them to bring her in.
Yeah.
And so...
But either Millie Bobby Brown is too expensive, or she has finally got that point in her career where she's like, I don't need to make
these shitty fucking movies.
Yeah.
I don't need to be the Scooby of your squad.
No, because she was so underutilized in that last one.
Oh my god, I still... Bad. Every time I have that in my cart on Vudu, and I'm like, oh, maybe today. Because there are elements of that movie I do genuinely like. Every time I think of everything to do with the Godzilla side of the story and everything to do with Millie Bobby Brown, I'm like, oh, I would just skip those scenes. I would just fully skip those scenes because all of that sucked.
Yeah.
That all sucked. It was all bad. No part of it was good. And then every, you know, again, some stuff works. I love the Godzilla Kong fight on the aircraft carrier. I do like the end fight. I like the reveal of Mechagodzilla. I'm like, okay, I'm on top with all these things. God damn it, that Scooby Squad shit was so bad.
So bad.
And made no fucking sense. And just, oh, it just flew in the face of everything that the franchise had built to that point. And just, oh, it was really bad. It was just really bad.
These new Godzilla movies, I'm not going to put Kong Skull Island there because I actually really like that movie.
I love Kong Skull Island.
I love that fucking movie.
That is, we got to do a show on B-movies.
Yeah.
Because that's near the top of my,
that's
like,
a really great.
That's a great B-movie. Yep. Is it terrible? 100%.
Yes.
But, oh my God,
in a
it's
great
so
way.
Fun. I love yeah. watching it.
The thing that I hate about these new Godzilla movies and the Godzilla Kong movies, the thing about the Japanese ones, and I've watched I watched one just last night. It was the 2016 one. What is the name of that? Shin Godzilla.
Shin Godzilla. Oh yeah, we've been
Shin Godzilla.
That was another one that was $5 over the holiday.
Loved it,
and I was like, oh maybe.
Just
maybe.
Like you're saying, bad movie, great B movie.
Yeah,
and it was subtitled, which was even better for
yeah.
me. The thing that made the Japanese ones great is, you don't give a fuck about the humans.
No.
And there are no humans that stand out. And they don't make you want to give a fuck about the humans.
No. My dad full-on would skip any scenes with humans when watching Godzilla
yeah,
movies.
To get to
he
the
would,
fucking Godzilla.
He would just watch the Godzilla sections yeah. of those movies.
And that's the problem with these Godzilla movies. It's like, why are you making me want to care about Bryan Cranston, who's only going to be in it for 5 minutes? Why are you mm-hmm. going to make me care about his wife, who's going to die in 30 seconds of the movie? Why are you going to have brother and sister in a movie that's out the same year play husband and wife? And I don't really give a fuck about either one of them.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Show me the fucking monsters. Have the humans react and steer the story, but not be the fucking story.
Yeah, no, that was always the problem, especially with that first Godzilla movie. I fully
yeah.
agree with you of just like, there were just so many moments where I was just like, but this is a Godzilla movie, right?
Yeah.
So I don't care about what Quicksilver's doing right now. That's not important to me. I don't care about him needing to call someone at home. I like the scene where he has to get the kid.
Yep.
If it was, you know what it could have been? If it was one of those things where each character was a separate person.
Mm.
And so it's just like, you have Bryan Cranston, no son. He's doing this whole
yeah.
thing. He dies. And then the son, who's not necessarily Bryan Cranston's son, he's just a guy we meet at the airport trying mm-hmm. to get home. And he has this whole run-in with Godzilla, and he has to save the kid. And then the military transport isn't Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's just some guy in the military that we're watching transport this mm-hmm. thing. And so it's just like all these different people, and they're not necessarily related to each other in any way. But we get to see each through each of their eyes this whole experience of Godzilla coming.
Yeah.
And it's like, that would have been so much more interesting to me. I know.
I'm sorry.
You're 12. No. I can't 12. Help it.
But like, okay, so you're going to put in Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
And all he's going to do is to make fight. The same reaction face
yeah.
to everything going on, even though he's supposed to be this genius. And you
well,
don't
he also
anything.
Says, let them fight.
He does say, let them fight, which is kind of like the Liam Neeson
yeah.
Release the Kraken scene. But then you're going to take Bryan Cranston in his first major role, coming off the biggest thing he's ever done in his career, being Breaking Bad,
and
you're going to make him a bit character.
And have him be the center focus of all the trailers.
Yes!
All the trailers.
All the trailers.
And you're just going to deep blue see him.
Yep.
And it's just like, okay, interesting choice.
I don't fucking, like,
but,
that
this
was
is
the
why
dumbest
I,
thing.
This is why I don't like Gareth Edwards in general.
Yeah.
I just don't like him as a director. I don't like the choices he makes. I don't think he's terribly talented.
Mm.
I like the Raid Redemption. So that's,
yeah.
you know, a boon in his side. But the parts of Rogue One that I don't like, I blame on him. The parts of Godzilla that I don't like, I blame on him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, the new one, the Savior, the whatever it was, the one that's Terminator but reversed, Denzel Washington's son, I can't remember his name at the moment.
The Creator?
The Creator.
Yeah, the Creator.
Yeah.
John David Washington.
John David Washington. I was like, David Bryan Washington? That's not right. No, like I look at that movie and I'm just like, this is just Terminator, but with the roles reversed.
Well, and it seems like he wants to be Christopher Nolan.
He really does.
He really wants to be Christopher
he
Nolan.
He really, really
and
does.
It's like, dude, you're not Christopher Nolan.
You're not.
You'll never make Oppenheimer.
No.
Ever make a movie of that quality.
No, I just...
Yeah.
I don't know. So I look at Godzilla X Kong, the Final Frontier, or whatever the fuck this is. They should just call it Godzilla X Kong, yeah. Let them fight. And just be like, this is all it is, folks. It's just fighting. I look at it and I'm just like...
The new empire.
The... Ooh, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
I don't think Dan Stevens can save this for me. No. Dan Stevens can save almost anything for me. And even here, I'm like, I don't know if Dan Stevens is going to bring this back from the edge. This looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
The fight scenes could be fun if they're done well.
See, they're not going to be done well.
The bald ape, I'm just like, I don't fucking care about this.
And the baby ape, it's like, okay, we understand what you're trying to do. What was the name of the baby Kong in the old Japanese movies?
Oh, Jesus.
God, I can't remember.
Well, there was the baby Godzilla. What was the baby Godzilla's name? It was like Gogu or something.
No, that's the... Wasn't that the baby Kong?
No, there was I don't think there was a baby Kong in the... Was there? I don't know. I've never seen the Japanese version of Godzilla.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I'm thinking of the baby Godzilla.
There's a baby Godzilla that shows up a lot. Bobu, Gobu.
Gobu, go fuck yourself. Yeah. All right, so let's move on. We got to move on. We got to move on to... let's have our fun with Garfield.
Yes.
Okay, so they're making a new animated Garfield. This one does not have Bill Murray anymore voicing the...
No, it does not.
It has.
It's someone who is doing an entirely different voice than literally every other person who has ever played Garfield, even in the worst versions of Garfield.
It is Chris fucking Pratt.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
Doing Chris Pratt. Fucking Pratt.
Yeah, he's not doing
anything. He doesn't change his voice at all.
No.
And it's like, dude, this sounds terrible.
Yeah, no.
It looks terrible. It looks awful. The animation looks okay. It looks like they're trying to get close to the comic strip animation. And they do a decent job, but man.
Yes, I'm getting...
Hearing his fucking voice.
I'm getting Manila as the name of Godzilla's son.
Oh, Manila, okay.
But no, I agree. I looked at this and I was like, this was okay until he started talking. And the moment he started talking, I was like, oh. And then we meet his ne'er-do-well father, who just shows up at his doorstep, and I'm like, I already know how this movie's going to go.
Yeah.
I know exactly how this movie's going to go. I'm not watching a frame of this shit, man. Not a goddamn chance. Yeah.
And I love how they're following this new, not even new, it's a trend that's been going on for years now, where it's like, hey, Chris Pratt's in Marvel movies. Who should we get to play his dad? Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Anyone who's in a Marvel movie and it's an animated movie, Samuel L. Jackson plays their father. We just fucking have to do it.
Well, I'm just getting to a point now where I wonder, was the Lego movie actually a curse more than a gift? Because while it's very good, does Chris Pratt become the voice actor that he is if he doesn't have the Lego movie on his resume?
Well, and it's... Yeah. See, the problem is, though, is he's getting oversaturated. It's kind of like The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
I don't want to hear The Rock in a fucking... Anytime he talks now, I'm like, God damn it, man. I respect you, but I just don't give a
shit. Right, but, like, The Rock didn't have, you know, after Moana, The Rock didn't have, like, six animated movies.
That's true.
Now, Chris Pratt has been in so many animated movies as the lead doing the exact same bit that he did in Lego Movie.
Yeah.
And it just, it has that feel of a producer being like, oh, that's what everybody loved about it. We better do it again.
See, I wonder if he was a success in the Lego movie, because in reality, if you listen to his performance in that movie, he was playing Andy from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
That's who that character was. So everyone loves that character. I love that character from Parks and Recreation. So you're like, oh, it's just Andy Dwyer. Yeah. No, it isn't. It's fucking, now it's like, no, I'm going to be Chris Pratt in this. I'm going to be fucking Mario, which I still want to bang my head against the wall. Why and I hope they change that casting before the next one.
I really hope they do. I just, like, literally anybody would be a better Mario at this point than Chris Pratt is. I wish I remember who I thought of, who I was like, I would listen to that person play Mario. Mm. But, like, I would listen to Patrick Stewart play Mario.
Yeah.
I desperately do not care as long as it's not Chris Pratt. Yes. You know, I would take fucking Lawrence Fishburne or Ving Rhames. I would listen to Cobra Bubbles be Mario all day.
For him and Luigi, I know this is getting off topic, but you tell me you can't find Italian actors that can voice those characters. Popular.
Well, they broke the promise when they had them in Brooklyn That is so not what we're here for, man. I played Yoshi's Island. I know that they're star children. Don't lie to me.
Yeah.
Why did you insist on doing the one thing that everybody agrees was the stupidest thing from the live action movie and set it in Brooklyn? That's the dumbest fucking thing. No one is making you do this. You are doing this of your own volition. Everybody knows that Mario is not from Brooklyn. In the middle of everything, he never goes back to Brooklyn. It's New Donk City. It's not Williamsburg. Why the fuck are we in Brooklyn? So that's how I feel about
it. That's how you feel about it. Yeah, Garfield's gonna suck. My kids are gonna want to watch it. I'm gonna have to watch it with them. I hope that I can fall asleep during it. That's the way I look at this movie.
Yeah, no, just the fact that he is doing... I saw a video someone put together of all the various voice actors, including pre-Lorenzo Music, who had done Garfield, and they all have that same kind of, well... Even Bill Murray is doing that same voice. And Chris Pratt's like... Nah. Iconic voice that everybody has done for this character? No way.
I still love how the story of Bill Murray when he first accepted the role is because he saw that the...
He thought it was a Coen Brothers.
He thought it was a Coen Brothers. He's like, yeah, fuck it. And then he did the second one just for money. But
yeah.
All right, so we got to move on. Let's finish with a top one.
Well,
not finish, but...
Yeah, we're going to... We have a tale of two fallouts.
Yes.
And so we have what happened in Australia and what happened in 1950s America. So I let's start with Fallout.
Okay.
It
looks great.
I am not a Fallout guy. I played a little bit of it. I want to play it modded so I don't have to worry about levels and rads and all
Fallout
this other stuff.
Fallout 3 is by far the best.
I played Fallout New Vegas.
Fallout New Vegas is great.
Yeah.
Fallout 3 is fantastic. Yeah. I wish they would do a remaster of that.
Yeah. So I look at this and I say, you got all of your flagpoles right.
Yep.
Everything looks great. Great. Everything looks like it should be in a Fallout thing. It's a series, so this is a positive.
Yep.
Because you have more time to do things. All I can say is don't pull a Halo where you have everything look right. Mm-hmm. And then at the last second say, hey, but let's really explore the torn backstory of Master Chief's childhood.
Oh my God.
Nobody asked for this. Who asked for this? You're making the same mistakes as the Sylvester Stallone Dread.
Yeah,
exactly. No one asked for this.
No one gives a fuck.
No, he's just a killing machine.
Yeah.
There should be some person that goes along with him that we do care about, but he is not the guy we care about.
Yeah.
He goes in and tears arms off things.
So, I mean, the thing that caught me in this trailer, though, that gives me hope, it looks like a lot of practical effects.
Makeup,
the costumes look amazing. The battle armor is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's being run by the showrunners of The Boys, so it looks like it is going to be an R-rated show or MA-rated or whatever you want to call it, because it looks like there's going to be a lot of blood.
And I don't know how you couldn't, with just the ghouls
alone.
You would have to have this be a mature, it'd be like trying to do Last of Us for a PG-13 audience. You're just like, what's the fucking point of this?
And it's funny, though, that this trailer comes out now, because I forgot that they were making this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is another one, kind of like Halo, that's been in the works forever, and they're finally coming out with it. My big gaming thing I've been doing lately is I've been getting back into Fallout Shelter.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever played that.
No.
It's so great. It's just a free-to-play game on the tablet or your phone, and it's you create this underground vault, and you build rooms, and you send people out to... And it's insanely fun.
Yeah.
And it's free, and I've been playing it like crazy, and then this trailer comes out, and I'm like, oh, this does look exactly like this game, which is awesome.
No, I'm super excited. Yeah. As someone who has no cards in the Fallout game... This looks really fun. This looks really good. And as long as they stick the dismount, I'm interested.
See, the thing that bothers me, and once again, this is kind of... It almost felt like a Marvel trailer. They show a ghoul in this, the noseless ghoul, which is Walter Goggins. But then at the very end, they show his character normal. And so you're like...
Yeah.
Why would you gotta do that? Because not many people probably knew...
Yeah.
But, like, if you look up an IMDb, it says that he is this ghoul character that looks awesome and the makeup looks great. But then you're going to show him. So, obviously, there's going to be something that happens because they show him, like, racing towards the vault when the fallout's happening.
I was going to say, he's going to be one of the guys that doesn't make it to the vault. And that's why he's a ghoul. That's going to be his tragic backstory.
I don't understand why they got
to
show that.
That's just going to be his backstory. It's going to be a flashback at some point to be like, hey, we have a Walton Goggins over here. We have to show him without makeup because no one is man enough to take on the Carl Urban gauntlet.
That's true.
You wear the goddamn mask.
That's
I don't
true.
Care. You wear the goddamn mask.
Don't fucking ever take it off.
Never take it off.
And Master Chief, that don't have sex with people.
That is your fucking face.
Yep.
You can't take it off just because it's inconvenient or you want to have a shot where we know who the actor is. That is. Well, go ahead.
That was Sylvester Stallone's ego in that movie. Yeah. He didn't know the character. He just wanted his face.
Well, but look, I for me, it's always Tom Holland. I'm supposed to care about this boy keeping a secret identity when he whips his mask off every 5 fucking seconds so he can breathe. It's just, you're not Spider-Man.
But we know now that's the Marvel thing.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta take your mask off so they know the actor is.
Well, Chris Pratt wasn't wearing his Star-Lord mask at all in the new Guardians. That's I don't think he wore it once. They could have had
Holy shit.
He had his full comic book costume. All he needed was the kettle helmet and the mask, and we would have all been Gucci. It would have all been great. And instead, he never puts on his mask.
I fucking forgot about that. That's true. Yeah. I put that movie out of my mind, so I totally forgot about that.
Karen Gillan doesn't suddenly have her makeup changed so that she can just not be out of makeup, Mystique style. She is blue in all of those fucking movies, but you can't put something on your fucking face. You gotta show the white pearlies. No, that's not what we fucking hired you for. We hired you to play the character.
Jesus,
the character
wears. He doesn't believe in masks.
The character wears a fucking mask. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so last of all is Furiosa.
Okay.
This one I am hopeful for, also terrified.
I cannot ever take this movie serious.
No? Why not?
Chris Hemsworth knows. As soon as I saw it in the trailer, I was like, this has got to be like one of those like Loaded Weapon movies, like a joke playoff of it. And when I realized it was a legit prequel to a movie that I absolutely fucking love, Fury Road, and the practical effects I think are mesmerizing.
Oh, they're some of the best effects of all time.
Absolutely.
Definitely the best effects of this century.
Absolutely.
Very possibly of all time.
That nose is fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
And I watched the trailer again to make sure I just wasn't seeing things. And it legitimately is horrific. It looks like a fake fucking... Like, you should never have a nose that looks like a fake fucking nose.
Yeah.
And that looks like a fake fucking nose. 100%.
I didn't have that problem. I also didn't recognize it as Chris Hemsworth at first.
Yeah.
There's definitely a moment of like, who is that? I know Hemsworth's in this. Is that Hemsworth?
Dude.
But I do think this looks good. I have just concerns that I usually have with prequels of... Be very, very careful, because this is, you know, a sequel is just a continuation of a story, and if it's good or bad, you can be like, well, Indiana Jones style, that fucking sucks because of this, that, and the other thing, but it doesn't have the impact that a prequel has.
Yeah.
When you're doing a prequel, suddenly all of these things that we have known for 10 years about this character that have to be true in the prequel are all kind of eggshells on the ground that you can't step on. So I trust George Miller. He's rarely ever made a bad movie.
True.
But I'd be lying if I said that I was like as excited as I was before Fury Road. That being said, that's only because I love Fury Road
so much.
So Fury Road came in with carte blanche. Yeah. It was technically a sequel, but it was also like 20 years after the last one. And it was the exact opposite of stuff like Terminator and Aliens and all these other things that had been trying to reboot over and over again and had never found success. This just looked like a great new addition to the universe without necessarily being tied back to any of the films, and that's exactly what it was. This doesn't have that benefit. This is very much going to be tied directly to Fury Road, and if they don't land that boat, I just get a little nervous. I think they will? Yes. Am I confident? Mostly.
See, I don't... And I love this actor. Love this actor. I do not like the casting of Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
The reason is, I think she's a great actor. I think she's gorgeous. I loved her in Queen's Gambit. I love her in everything she's in. Charlize Theron is gorgeous. But in any given moment, I can see her beating the shit out of somebody.
Yeah.
I don't see that with Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Charlize Theron is... She has that physicality, kind of like Sigourney Weaver in the Alien movies.
Yeah.
She was beautiful, but she also had that side to her.
There was that blue-collar attitude to the whole thing.
Like Charlize Theron. You could see her in a Dior commercial, and then you can see her and was it Atomic Blonde, which was an awesome movie, where she still looks exactly like she does in that commercial, but she's beating the shit out of people for real because she wouldn't let anyone do her own stunts.
And been beat up.
And like, been beat up
big time. The shots of her beat up in that movie are just like,
oh, wow. Fucking unbelievable. I just don't get that from Anna Taylor-Joy. And so that's why I was like, as soon as I saw her casting, I'm like, I don't love it.
I love her as an actress. I think she's super talented. She is what makes Split amazing. Like, James McAvoy is really good in Split, but her reactions to everything that are that's happening is just so good. I feel like the wig is working against her in a lot of these shots. I think that that was an element that I don't know that they were ever going to shave her head the way that Charlize Theron shaved her head. And I just, some of those shots, there were definitely moments of like, that hair is just it's kind of a problem. It's almost a problem for me.
And when she, you know, when she gives the stern face, it's just like, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I just don't buy it. Like, it's different when you're giving a stern face in an action movie or when you're giving the stern face like she did pretty much the entire series of The Queen's Gambit. And you're like, I can buy that, though.
Yeah.
Because she just is like an emotionless human being. This, she's supposed to be tough, and I don't buy the tough.
I buy the tough, but I just don't, I'm not, I don't even want to say that I'm not sold. I'm very excited for this prospect. I worry that it's not going to hold in the lab. You know, it's like, in concept, I'm like, okay, this is really exciting. And now we've gotten the first kind of slides back from the lab of this experiment, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this wasn't exactly what I had in mind. This wasn't exactly what I thought of when I heard this was happening.
Yeah.
Is it bad? No, it's too early to tell. We don't know yet. It could be great. But I would be lying if I said that I look at this and I think, oh, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Also, putting a defined date on when the world ended is a interesting wicket to circle, because Tom Hardy is... like, in his, I guess it takes place 45 years after the world fell, but then it's still like another 20 years until Fury Road.
Because they did a prequel to Fury Road already, and it was called Mad Max, and it came out in the 70s, or well, what, 80, late,
yeah, early 80s. Yeah, yeah. They did one of those weird things where they made the original.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, made movies after that.
But you're right with the timeline thing. The timeline thing is kind of
when you set an established timeline, this is the Star Wars conundrum. And it's the same thing as the prequels. The Star Wars came in and said, we're going to do prequels. And we were like, great. We always wondered what all that Clone Wars nonsense was about. Thanks, George. We're so excited.
Yeah.
And then we found out that all of this shit that we thought had taken place over the course of hundreds of years only took place over the course of 18 years. And for some reason, there are entire pockets of the world that don't believe in this very real religion that is palpably, empirically real. And, you know, just, again, you just end up in this situation of, oops, 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 shouldn't have stepped on that. That's going to hurt. That's a mistake. That's a problem. That's going to be an issue later on. We're going to have to talk about that. And so I just, I look at this and I just think it'll probably be great. I am just a little nervous about it, though.
Yeah, and it's... my problem is, and this is... I'm glad you brought up the Star Wars thing. If you're going to make a prequel to masterpieces...
yeah.
It has to be on par, or you got to try to aim for better.
Yep.
This is a movie, Mad Max Fury Road, that, as much as I like Birdman, should have won that Oscar that year.
The more I look back at it, the more I think that's true.
There's no way that movie should not have been the best. That movie... is unbelievably good.
That Birdman is an incredible feat of filmmaking.
Yes.
Fury Road is a god-level filmmaking experience.
Exactly. The fact that no one died.
No one died.
That fucking movie.
The fact that that last shot is real until the guitar flies into the screen.
Yes.
That last shot is fucking real. They did that in real life with real truck covered
in
wheelchair.
And the guy's going back and forth on poles from car to car.
Yes.
It's unfucking believable.
It's all fucking real. Every fireball, fucking real. Yeah.
So you're following up a movie that should have been an Academy. I mean, it's won Oscars for different...
Won every other Oscar.
Every
just
other Oscar,
just
best not
Best Picture.
Which it fucking... And Best Director. Both of those should have won. I don't understand why we need this.
I don't...
I could see doing a sequel with Charlize Theron as Furiosa after the fact and create new villains, you know,
They're trying to defend...
What was the name of the villain in...
Immortan Joe.
Immortan Joe. He's gone now.
Yeah, the bullet farm's gone.
Yeah, there was all this... These rumors about people having inside information that his son, who was the cripple...
Yeah.
Was still alive and finds a way to resurrect everything. And it's like, you could have done that.
Well, like,
and not had Tom Hardy in it.
Yeah.
It just had Charlize Theron kicking everyone's ass and do a sequel.
And that was kind of what we wanted through
that
like
is what
20,
we wanted.
2018, 2019. That's what everybody wanted. And then they're like, oh, we're going to do a Furiosa prequel. And we're like, okay, that'll work too. We'll take that. I kind of agree with you on that one. I think that there's a lot more land to be kind of sown and cultivated in a sequel where they're trying to protect the green space and all these other things over explaining how Furiosa went from the many mothers to Immortan Joe's service and all these other things. That'll be interesting. I'm not saying I don't want to see that, but maybe even cross those two streams.
Yeah.
So it's not as much a prequel. We get kind of like looks into Furiosa's past and then also what's going on in the timeline as it stands.
Well, and also I think a thing that's holding me up a little bit too is I totally love her character in Fury Road. And I think they did a great job with her character in Fury Road. I don't really think I give a fuck about anything else about her character. It's like... You don't necessarily always have to show a backstory of a... You could just have said, this is a great character.
Mm-hmm.
And she played a vital role in this movie. And it's like, the story was told. The story's done. It's a one-off. Fucking move on.
Yeah.
Do something else or do the sequel. You don't need to fucking know.
Well, like, there's also this idea that I've been waiting for people to kind of glom onto that no one's doing yet. Same world, new story.
Yes.
So what's going on in a different part of the world?
Well, we're all hoping with Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on in a different part of the world? What's going on somewhere else? What, you know, show me something else because it's not just this one world that this is happening to. It's happening to an entire planet. So there's got to be other interesting stories that we can play out of that whole concept without necessarily, you know, having to dig directly from the same soil.
Yeah. And not to get crass, even though we are crass, this whole conversation just had me thinking of Patton Oswalt, who I love Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
He has a great comedy routine where he's talking about the prequels, and he's like, I don't need to know how the things I love became the things I love. And he does, what does he say? He goes, do you like Angelina Jolie? You think she's beautiful? Here's John Voight's balls. And it's like, I don't necessarily need to see how what I love became what I love.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want to do it, the way I prefer is, like, prior to the J.J. Abrams Star Treks, there's great novelizations of how Spock and Kirk met in Starfleet Academy. And they're awesome. And it's like, that is, you know, for a real fan, they will go read.
Yeah.
I know most non, like, true fans probably would ever pick up a book, period, let alone a book about a movie that they kind of just like. But I like where you can delve into something like in that way.
Well, and there's also something to be said for a lot of those are better than what we end up getting. Looking at you, Star Wars. How many...
Oh, dude.
When Disney bought Star Wars and said, we're torching the extended universe.
That's so
starting
stupid.
All new. That's not canon. None of that's real. We're starting all over again, baby. I, at the time, was kind of like, whatever, because I don't really care about the extended universe, and it's not a big deal to me, so I only ever really considered the movies the universe. That was the only universe I needed. I didn't need to go into another one. Well, wouldn't you know it, the movies that we got kind of suck. They're not great stories, and then when you go back and you listen and look at some of these extended universe stories, you're like, so you did have a playbook. Someone had written you a playbook and hand-delivered it to you, and there was just this sense of ego? I don't know what.
Well, that's our problem with Marvel, too.
Yeah.
And it's like, you gotta fuck with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say Hollywood, their complaint is that there's no good stories, and that's why they keep remaking things. It's like, no, dude.
Yeah.
You got good stories. You're just not, you don't want to pay the authors.
Yeah.
Or you don't want to work on adapting them.
Or you're scared of them for one reason or another. I will never get over the fact that they did Demon in a Bottle without doing Demon in a Bottle.
Yeah.
How have we had this much Iron Man time and not had him as an alcoholic at any point?
Yeah.
That is just not a thing.
I mean, you briefly brush on in Iron Man 2, but that's more of him just being drunk.
They call that the demon in a bottle storyline. It's not.
Not even fucking close. It's not even close. Yeah.
I want to see Tony decide that no one else can do a job to save the day, so he drunkenly gets in the suit and goes to try and save the day, and something happens. In the comics, Machine Man, who's on a rampage, ends up stopping his rampage to stop Tony from hurting people. Yeah. And it's just like,
they're like, oh, well, we don't need alcohol. We're just going to say the polonium in his arc reactor in his chest is just poisoning
him. It's just making him crazy.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's just
stupid.
Making him crazy.
Oh, that movie bothers me.
But like, someday I got to do my what I would have done for Iron Man 2 pitch. It includes Wonder Man and Madam Mask.
See, once again, the Wonder Man thing is still coming, and I really hope they don't fuck that up, because I love Wonder
Steve,
Man.
I've already decided they have fucked it up.
That's true.
I don't think they've even started shooting the goddamn thing, and I have already decided they fucked it up. As soon as they said that Echo wasn't going to have powers and wasn't going to be the character from the comics, I was like, well then, clearly I don't need to fucking be here anymore, huh? You don't need my money and time, so fuck you guys. I guess I'm gone.
Quick interjection.
Yes.
3 minutes left in the fourth quarter at Philadelphia. The 49ers are up 42-19. Brock Purdy has thrown 314 yards and 4 touchdowns.
God damn, bro.
Damn it. I just had to throw that in there. I know we like to talk about football every now and then. Holy shit.
The Eagles have been playing it close the last few weeks.
Holy shit. And, they're getting destroyed. Toast.
Yeah.
I think everyone in the NFL should be deadly afraid of the fucking 49ers
right now. They went on that 3-game losing streak and everybody was like, the Niners aren't real. They're a pantomime horse. They're a pantomime... I can't even say tank, because tank means something else in
that's true.
The NFL parlance, but they're...
Damn, dude.
They're deadly.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah.
No, so we should jump into...
Yes. Either,
do you want to do Blue Beetle first?
I think we should do Blue Beetle first.
Yes.
Okay, so Blue Beetle came out on HBO Max.
Yes, like 2.5 weeks ago.
I gotta say, I really like this movie.
This is an A. Like a solid A.
It's a solid A.
This is like, this is everything. This makes me more angry at the Flash movie than anything else, because it's not hard.
No, it's so good.
It's right here. It's so clearly right here.
You'll appreciate this. The reason I'm giving it a solid A, they pulled off the Pa Kent Uncle Ben character.
Yes.
And his father.
Oh my God, they really did.
They nailed it.
They did.
And it's
so
like,
good.
As I'm watching it, I'm like, this is what the Spider-Man movies were missing.
Yeah.
You don't have this fucking character.
You don't have this moment. I have dreamt of a moment like that towards the end of the movie. The it's not your time moment. I've seen that done in other movies, right? It's not brand new. This isn't the first time I've seen it anywhere. But I've wanted to write a scene almost just like that for so long. And to see it here in this movie touched all of the things that I wanted. We had giant glowing staples, Steve.
Oh my
we
God.
Had giant glowing staples, Steve. And I'm like, so you did it. You did it, Goku. You madman. You fucking did it. Oh, and it was everything I wanted it to be.
And the family dynamic was what we loved about Ms. Marvel, but times 10.
Oh my God, yeah.
Even the comic relief of George Lopez was awesome.
I didn't hate George Lopez.
He was so awesome.
I was so convinced that George Lopez was going to be a thorn in my side throughout this entire fucking movie. And I kind of like Rudy.
I fucking loved him.
Rudy's not bad.
No.
Rudy takes a little getting used to, but once you get there and you see him be a competent
ally.
Because
he fits in the family dynamic.
Yes.
And I was like, dude.
I just love everything about how this movie opens with him coming back from college and everything. And, like, it does have all of those kind of, like, hand-holdy moments.
It hits a lot of the tropes.
Yeah, definitely.
Just does it well.
But it does it so well.
Yeah.
And the world that it establishes is so good. Like, I was having trouble telling where in the world this took place. place. Like, there were moments where I was like, oh, this must be, like, the San Diego area of California, really far, far south in San Diego, or in California. Maybe this takes place on, like, the eastern side of Texas? I don't know anymore. I can't say. I don't know.
Yeah.
It clearly takes place near a beach, so it has to be on one of the coasts. But I don't know where exactly this is supposed to take place. And yeah. I kind of like that about this movie, you know? And I just like the tone and style of it. They hit that family, like, both Ms. Marvel and this try and do the family trauma or family drama, whichever one you want. It tries to do those two as a superhero thing. Ms. Marvel does it really, really well, but then screws up all the superhero stuff.
Yes.
This does it really, really well, and then the superhero stuff is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it just, the entire time, I'm just so excited about what I'm seeing. From the whole thing with Jennifer Cord trying to get into the company and all these other things. I thought that was a lot of cool
stuff. See, and this is what I love about the Jenny Cord character. She's gorgeous. She's obviously his love interest. But she's not a damsel in distress.
No, she's...
Ever in this fucking movie. None of the women are damsels in distress.
That's one of the jokes. Well, the women actually save the day more than the
men. Yeah, Grandma with the fucking... The revolutionary with the Gatling gun. I fucking love that.
Yeah, that was a great reveal. That was, again, one of those reveals where I was like, this in other less well-done things would be like, oh, of course Grandma is going to come in and save the day. But here you're kind of like, fuck yeah, Grandma, come in.
It's because the actor that plays her, which I don't know if I could even find that shit. She nails it.
Yeah.
And that is why you're like, holy crap, she absolutely nailed being this, like, kind of crazy revolutionary.
Adriana Barraza,
yes. Yeah.
On IMDb, it's a photo of her from, like, the 60s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely not her.
So. No, but I loved almost every second of this movie.
Yeah.
And it was one of those movies, it's so rare that this gets to happen for me, right? I think I've talked about this on the show, but DC for me holds a very special place because I don't know it as well as Marvel. So I'm not sitting here the whole time being like, they should have done this. You know, like, that's what I do with Marvel. I don't have that opportunity with DC just because I don't know the stories as in-depth as I do with Marvel. And so there is kind of this nice, like, oh, I can just kind of relax and let them tell me a story aspect to it without being like, oh, they should have done this. But then I still go back and I do the research afterwards to find out, like, oh, but what about this? Oh, but what about this? And in this case, I thought that Carapax was a different character, Rocket Red, than the Rocket Red Brigade. No! And not only no, the Carapax character has all three Blue Beetles. That's like the perfect bad guy to pick for this situation. And we touch on all three Blue Beetles. Like, I was, the entire time when the trailer dropped, how many times did I say, where is Ted Kord? I need to know what's going on with Ted Kord. Oh, baby, we got Ted Kord all over this movie without Ted Kord being in this movie.
Yes.
And then they still talk about Dan Garrett. Holy shit, we're in, baby. This is comic so book good. Heaven. You didn't have to do any of this shit, and you did it all. I look at Black Adam and how they fucked up Dr. Fate and how they fucked up Hawkman and all these other things that they could have done better. What's his nuts? The guy that changes shape. Oh, what's his name? Adam Smasher. All these things. I didn't need Henry Winkler to show up as Adam Smasher 1. That was stupid. That was distracting. It was dumb. I don't need to make it so that Dr. Fate's whole thing is just that he knows the fate of people. That's so reductive of what Dr. Fate... He's a Lord of Order, for fuck's sake! Oh my god! Here, we hit everything! Every little thing that we could hit, we hit, and it's all done satisfactorily. From the standpoint of a comic book fan who's seen Blue Beetle in a bunch of things, a bunch of TV shows, a bunch of animated shows, this is right in there.
Yeah.
When has that ever happened where we're like, oh yeah, the animated version and the live action version, just about as good as each other? That never fucking happens.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's just, I was just so thrilled and charmed by the entire movie. It just took me off my feet and I was so happy the entire time.
And the thing that I appreciate about Carapax, the character, not only just him in costume as the villain, but what you can kind of sense about his character that leads into his backstory that you find out later, is someone that you really care enough about, because Susan Sarandon is kind of the throwaway villain that you see in a lot of movies.
We're going to get to her.
But you don't really give a shit that she sucks, yeah, because he is somebody that you actually give a shit about.
Yeah.
And he's like the big bad.
By the end of the movie, you're like, oh shit. Like,
yes.
Wow. Okay.
And so it's like, okay, she, and luckily Susan Sarandon really isn't in it as much as,
no,
she's only in, and I would think if you put together all her scenes, maybe 20 minutes of this, yeah, movie, she's in it. So she's not in it a ton. But Cara Pax is, especially, yeah, at the end, you're like, Jesus.
Jesus.
They do, at the end, what James Gunn was trying to do with the
Guardians.
In Guardians 3.
Yeah.
That's, but they did it right, yeah, in Blue Beetle, because you actually said, okay.
Oh, shit.
I give a shit about this kid, yeah, because he was tortured.
Wow.
From being,
holy,
a kid,
shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, yeah, when the beetle, is the scarab, mm, is finally like, I got into his memories during the transfer, and you got to see this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. And also, that scarab interaction is so different, but so well done.
Yeah.
I'm used to the scarab Jaime interaction being very volatile,
mm,
very, a lot more of the moment at the end when he's about to fly off with Jenny Cord,
mm,
and he says, shut up, to the scarab, and then he turns to her and he's like, oh, not you. That is the quintessential, mm, interaction that I'm used to between the scarab and Jaime. And so to see this version where they're kind of more symbiotic and they're getting along better, and they aren't just like, the scarab isn't just using Jaime for something. I found that to be so engaging, yeah, and interesting.
I agree.
And it's just like, I really love this interpretation. I've seen versions of Jaime where he can't be with his family because the scarab reacts so badly around his family, to the point where he and his dad have become estranged,
mm,
because the scarab just makes it so that they can't even have a conversation together. I really like this interpretation, where it's kind of the opposite of that, where everybody is just about them all coming together and holding together, mm, and not letting this moment break them no matter what. And the scarab just becomes part of that whole orbit,
yeah,
along with so everybody good. Else. It's so well done.
Dude, I'm really blown away by this movie. I had the lowest of expectations.
Yeah.
And what sucks is it did so poorly.
So poorly.
Like, I don't know if they'll
no
make
one
a
cared.
Sequel.
No one cared. And that's just heartbreaking, yeah, because this is almost Blade Runner 2049 of like, God, I wish everybody saw this because I want 10 more of these,
yes,
every year.
Exactly.
This is what I dream of when I dream of comic book movies, is this kind of thing. This interaction, this style, this direction, this feel to the whole thing. This is what I want every single time, and I never, mm, ever fucking get it. So to finally see it and see it realized in such a palpable way.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bliss.
And this gives me that warm feeling of the biggest problem I had with Man of Steel. When Pa Kent dies, it's for a stupid fucking reason.
Yeah.
And it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
When Pa Kent dies in the first Superman with Christopher Reeve, he has a heart attack and he says that great line, with all my powers and all the things I can do, there was nothing I could do to save him. That's what happens in this, where the dad has a cardiac arrest. And since he's getting in the process of getting captured, he can't do anything.
He can't do anything. He just has to watch.
And he just has to watch him die. And it's like, thank you for actually having real drama.
And that moment, ugh, is so good at the end when he sees his dad and he just realizes, like, fuck, that did happen. Like, I wanted to hope that it wasn't real,
yeah,
or whatever. No. That fucking happened.
And that scene, the character of Milagro, which is his sister, played by Belisa Escobedo. She was kind of comic relief throughout it.
Yeah.
But during that scene, holy fuck, well, she was unreal.
Yeah, yeah.
Losing her shit,
well, like,
watching her dad
die. There was just so many
die.
Moments like that where she is playing, going back to Evil Dead Rises, Evil Dead Uprising, whatever it fucking, mm, was a few weeks ago. That whole thing where you have the teenage daughter who's just a rabble-rouser and she just doesn't like the system, and that's, yep, her whole personality. This character could have done that. That could have been this character at various points. But she instead has this feeling of, like, real actuality when life comes and hits her in the face.
Yes.
When life comes and hits her in the face, she reacts like a human being.
Yes.
She doesn't just go back to talking points or, sure, some other bullshit. She has this real moment with her family and is just trapped in that moment and just kind of has to live through it. I love that line that the grandma has about, like, we're not going to cry now, we're going to cry later. And then they come back to it and they're like, this is when we cry. Now that the job's done, now we can mourn. Now we can do things. But until we have that moment where everything is done, there's stuff to do and we have to take care of it. I love little things. I love that they talk about how long a journey it is, where they're like, we got a few hours in this ship while we fly to the, you know, this island outside of Cuba. We're going to go through the ship and find some stuff that we can use as part of this whole endeavor. Like, there were just so many elements of this movie that just tickled me so well. The way that they use music is so good. Like, first off, the soundtrack is great. Second, it is not a Saw movie of needle drops, right? Like, how many superhero movies these days are just needle drops of just like, oh, here's a song. Mm-hmm. Here's a song. Here's a song. Hey, here's a song. And it's so frustrating. It's so distracting and annoying. Here, when, what was it? Light My Fire, whatever it was, that starts with the Beatlemania scene. I was like, okay. All right. Here we go. This is how you use pop music to effectively amplify the moment instead of distracting and pulling you out of that moment. It melds with that moment and builds it up. You know, like music is supposed to in film. It's kind of what music is supposed to do. Marvel, for some reason, brainwashed us. And then the first Suicide Squad movie was like, hey, I got an even better idea. Why would you need any kind of exposition when you could just have a song tell you how you should feel about someone? I hate you. I hate all of this. And so many Marvel things have done this recently. Mm-hmm. And it was so nice to see it done well here. Like everything else, they do it well.
And I do want to point out this, when I saw this, I got giddy. Cause Elpidia Carrillo, I think is how you say her name. The woman that plays the mother in this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God, she looks familiar. She is one of only two survivors of the first Predator movie.
No kidding.
She's Anna.
Yeah.
The one they find who survives with Arnold at the end. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
I don't think I've seen her in anything since then. She's Get to the Chopper.
Yeah.
That's her.
Yeah.
She fucking is the mother in this. I was like, God damn it. That's awesome.
No, I was so happy with the cast. I was so happy with the design. The scene where Jaime merges with the Scarab, that was great.
That was awesome.
That was almost Cronenberg at times of like, oh.
Yes.
Yes. And just like, I've seen the Scarab fuse to Jaime's back in so many things. Never like this. Never like this.
Yeah.
And just, I'm struck by that line that his sister has. Oh, I forgot how bad it looks. It's just like, oh, I loved it. The one thing I didn't like, and it's a hallmark of decisions that people make nowadays, don't invent a character to just have a villain. The Victoria Court stuff is so... it's the one blemish on this whole beautiful experience because she was a character created literally months ago so that they could kind of like retcon her character in and be like, no, she's a comic book character. She's not a comic book character. Mm-hmm. And this was just one of those things of like, oh, I just wish that you had come up with something better because she just plays... the mustache twirling Karen who is trying to use her wealth and access to keep the Mexican family down. And like, it's very clear what you're doing.
Yes.
And I don't have a problem with that. I do think that there is a better character to do any story with than this. This is a little, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. You're standing over a barrel of fish with a giant 12 gauge shotgun and just firing into it. And you're just like, yeah, no. Yeah, it works. If your goal is just to kill the fish in the barrel, that is one way to do it.
Yeah.
It's excessive and a little on the nose. Maybe we try to do a different story that can incorporate different characters because I think using care packs is perfect. Let's try and find somebody that can fit that mold with that character.
Yeah.
Or just have it be Lex Luthor. I'm not opposed to introducing Lex Luthor in this movie or someone like that. We hear about Superman. We hear about all these other characters. So like, I would love to get a little bit of that here if you wanted to do that. You could do, what's his name? Max, what's his nuts? The guy from the second Batman movie. Max Schreck.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many fucking guys like this. The Stag Industries. You could do Martin Stag. All these other characters that you know, there's so many other financiers out there that you could just have as the villain if you wanted to do that. I wanted this to be a little better. But, oh my God, every time I saw any of the Blue Beetle stuff, it made me so happy. It just made me so happy.
And I got to throw out a special shout out to Dr. Sanchez, was played by Harvey Gillian.
Yeah.
Who is Guillermo, the lead familiar in the TV show of What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh.
And so seeing him, and every time I see him, I just want to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're amazing.
Yeah.
You're just the best. No,
I was so tickled and happy with this entire movie. It really itched all of those superhero scratches that I yearn for when I'm watching a superhero thing, which has just become so much less pronounced in recent years, yeah. Where it's more about, we got to get the effects, and we got to get these three characters in there, and we got to have a big CGI fight, and we got to do this, and we got to do that. Man, I was so much happier with just the corridor fight that they had on the island, and then you still have a big CGI fight between Carapax and Blue Beetle. And that was still rad as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did expect there to be a drop on the Reach, which is the alien race that created the Scarab. I expected that to be dropped somewhere.
Maybe I thought they were going to do that in a sequel.
Well, but they even show the different colored Scarabs at the beginning of the movie, flying off into the space. And just like, I really hope they come back to this in 5 years and say, let's try this and see if we can't get somebody, or if it gets some groundswell, let's get some cult, like Big Lebowski style groundswell.
See, and when I watched this, it made me so sad that this came out when it did, because it came out during this whole flux where they were already trashed the DCU.
Yeah.
And they were EU, and they were going on to the James Gunn, and they said, well, this is kind of like an in-between.
This is like the jump point.
Didn't they say it was a jump point, but then they didn't know, and it wasn't really pushed. This was, for the Latino community, what Black Panther would have been for the African-American community, and they fucked it up.
Yeah.
Because they did not promote it properly.
No.
And now, mind you, there was superhero fatigue, and that's why we didn't see it right away, as we're kind of like, ah, dude, I'm so tired of superheroes.
Well, they were bombed by their own movie. If The Flash hadn't come out and been as bad as it was, whether it's the rush CGI, whether it's the sloppy filmmaking and storytelling, whether it's the off and on acting by Ezra Miller, you know, there's still some good stuff in that. Supergirl is still so fucking
Supergirl's awesome.
She's so choice in that movie. But even Burton Batman, I think that was more of a distraction by the end than anything else. And are there elements of that movie that I like? Yes. Is it still like a 70-30 for me? Oh yeah. Like, I think there's a lot more problems here than solutions. Oh yeah,
absolutely.
If you hadn't had that literally like 6 weeks before Blue Beetle came out, or Blue Beetle was a May drop, you know, if May was bug month, so you had Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and then Blue Beetle, that would have been more advantageous. If Flash came out in August, they had more time to work on the CGI, that would have been more advantageous. But having the Flash be this June release when it wasn't ready, it just poisoned the entire waterhole.
Yeah.
And it just, of course nobody went out and see Blue Beetle. Flash was a train wreck. Did you see the faces in the Speed Force?
Oh my God.
It was a fucking train wreck.
The babies and all that. It's just horrible.
So of course nobody went out to see it, but that's such a tragedy because this movie is so fucking good. And it just nails everything a superhero fan wants out of a superhero story. Not just a Blue Beetle story, not just a DC Universe story, a superhero story. Like, the line that he has, where he's like, this is like, this guy's Batman, but with ADHD. Yes! That's the point! Yeah. You got it! You got it in one! You know, I'm reminded that Blue Beetle Ted Kord was going to be Night Owl in Watchmen. And you get it! You look at one, and then you look at the other, and you're like, oh yeah!
Yeah.
Look at that! And it's just, you got it all. You got it all right. And it's so relieving to see. And I'm so sad that nobody cared.
Yeah. And it's funny you said that, because when you see Blue Beetle's ship,
yeah,
it looks just like the owl ship from the fucking Watchmen movie.
Yeah. No, it was literally just that they wanted to be able to kill characters, and they didn't want to have those characters die in the DC canon. So they were like, maybe make some new ones that are different, quote-unquote.
Yeah. And it's, dude, it's so great.
Oh, God.
So great.
I did want a Booster Gold reference. I wanted, like, some guy that always knew what was happening somehow, but, like, was too distracted to be of any real help. And then, like, you find out he's from the future, and that's how he knows how everything's gonna go. And it,
And I gotta say, they nailed the thing that I was concerned about at the end is when they were looking at their burned out house and all of the neighbors started coming over. I'm like, oh, don't tell me they're gonna have like hammers and they're gonna rebuild. Nope, they just brought food. They're gonna have a party. I'm like, oh my god, that's bad. It's like, we're not gonna do that cliche and we're gonna rebuild your house.
No, we're gonna do the Batman move where Jenny Cord comes over and says, We're gonna fix your house, we're gonna buy it from the bank, we're gonna give it to you, we're gonna fix it, we're gonna make it all right. It's like, okay, cool. The Cord paramilitary stuff was like right at that front line of like, this seems ridiculous, but at the same time, I'm looks kind of like in
ice.
For it. Yeah,
yeah, it looks like ice.
Yeah. So I was super impressed with this movie. So I loved it. I was so happy with it. We are at just about an hour and a half. Do you want to keep going or do you want to save Scott Pilgrim?
I think we should call it.
I was going to say, I think we should save Scott Pilgrim.
We got a lot of Scott Pilgrim to talk about.
And, oh my God, do we ever. Because that was a thing that I thought was going to be one thing. It wasn't that thing.
No. But you know what it did? It made me really appreciate the movie. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit that it made me realize how much I actually truly love that movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna read the Scott Pilgrim manga over the next week. I got it on digital on the Google store, so I'm gonna read through that because I really came into that movie thinking, oh, it's gonna be this.
Yeah,
it is not that.
Yeah,
it is not that at all.
No, not at all.
And I gotta tell you, for like the first 2/3 of episode 2, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
We're going to have to save that for another episode. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 121 of NerdPod Generations. We really hope you enjoyed it. If this is your first time listening to us, please go back and listen to our back catalog. It's nothing but gold. If you have any friends that like these kind of podcasts, make sure to let them know to find us on Apple or Spotify, and make sure you subscribe to the channel. Give us any kind of feedback you want. For me, you can find me at the Pittsburgh Wegmans. Al?
You can find me at judsumstudios.work under the Bronx Division tab. Where we have comment section and all kinds of stupid stuff. If you want to read ahead, dear listener, my pitch for what Iron Man 2 should have been is on there. It involves the Soul Stone not being used in a stupid kind of ham-fisted way where you just like, we're like, oh yeah, ah shit, there's a sixth stone. We totally forgot about that one. Crap. Is it Heimdall? No, it's much stupider.
Yeah. So that's it.
So that's it.
So ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week.
Have a great week, friends and enemies. Happy holidays we get into snowball season.
Be wasting our money on toys our kids will never play with season.
And just giving me, toys are never wasted in this household.
That is true.
Have a great week, friends and enemies.